All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's begin in the book of Genesis, chapter number 30. Genesis chapter 30 will be our starting point. We will make our way to the book of Proverbs, make our way to the book of Philippians, possibly to 2 Samuel if we are led there by the Lord. And so we are continuing our series on Sunday nights now, entitled our learning series, based off the word learn, learning, or learn in the Word of God. For those of you that might be, this is your first time on Sunday night, some 63 times in some fashion that word learn is used in God's Word. And we have been looking at the things that God wants for His people to learn, and also the responsibility that God has for His people to learn. And so it's been such a blessing to go through and look at these specific items that God says that He wants for us to learn. And learning is not just a head knowledge or an acknowledgement of the issue, but it involves the practice and the application of that. You really haven't learned something until you're able to perform it, until you're able to understand it, until you're able to work it out. Working it out is the evidence that you have learned it. My kids are in school right now, and they're bringing home their homework. And in mathematics, I'm able to see how they, if they know what they're talking about, based on what they can do with the formulas. And so sometimes the problem is easy enough where they don't have to implement the formula. But probably when it comes time for the test, they're going to get a question that's going to determine whether or not they have learned the material. And so the question on the test is never as easy as the questions in the homework. I speak to you from that, from experience, by the way. I was not very good in those subjects. Anyway, that's another story. I'm not preaching to me. I'm preaching to you tonight. So the way I know the kids learn something is they're able to go through that formula and work it out. And God said He's got some things for us to learn. We've talked about them. We had to learn the fear of the Lord. That was the first thing He wanted us to learn. We had to learn the person of Christ. We had to learn contentment. We learned not to follow the world. We've learned how to do well. We learned last week on how to do that. And so we're going to continue tonight. And I'm going to use Genesis chapter 30 in the story of Laban here, in a phrase that Laban makes, to introduce to you tonight the subject that God wants for us to learn. And it's going to involve learning our friendships, learning our friendships, learning who's influential in our life. The Lord is very, very, very interested in who your friends are. The Lord is very interested in you that you choose proper friends. And one of the main reasons that God is interested in you choosing who you're going to be around and who you're going to hang with or who you're going to keep company with is because every relationship that you and I have has influence. You do not have a relationship that is not in some way influential in your life. Whether you have a relationship with an unsaved person or a saved person, every relationship that we have in some way is influential either in us or we're influential in them. But all of our relationship affect our lives. And so the Bible wants us to learn to be wise in these relationships. When you come to Genesis chapter 30 and you pick up at verse number 25, Rachel has just given birth to Joseph. Now, if you remember, Rachel and Leah were wives of Jacob. Jacob was the twin brother of Esau. Esau and Jacob were the sons of Isaac. And if you remember, Isaac, he was in his old age and he wanted to bless Esau, but God desired for him to bless Jacob. Now, Jacob was a supplanter and a trickster, and Jacob connived his way to receive the blessing that was due Esau. God was going to somehow get the blessing to Jacob, but Jacob was deceitful in the direction that he went there. And so he ended up with it. And it so angered Esau. Esau said, my brother's got my birthright. Now he's got my blessing. I'm going to kill my brother. So Rebekah, knowing that Esau was going to kill Jacob, sends Jacob to her family. Jacob ends up running into a man named Laban. It was good for Jacob to run into Laban because Laban was as deceitful as Jacob was. There's an old adage, it takes one to know one. So Jacob is there and he's with Laban and he meets Rachel and she's beautiful. She's just attractive and she just wins his heart. It's love at first sight. Laban, being a conniver and a trickster, says, you like her? Yes, sir. You want to marry her? Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. You work for me 7 years and I'll give you her to be your wife. The Bible says that Jacob worked those 7 years and it meant nothing to him. The time flew by. He was so in love with her that those 7 years went just like 7 days. It's kind of the way your husband's in love with you and sees time with you going at the same direction. So on their wedding night, they go into the tent to consummate the marriage. And the Bible says that Jacob goes in and he's all night in there with a woman that he thinks is Rachel. And when he wakes up in the morning after being all night with her, how this is possible, I don't know. But the Bible says it. He realizes that he's got the wrong woman. Could you imagine that? I don't know that I can. And so you can imagine all the thoughts that are going through Jacob's mind. So Jacob goes back to Laban and says, what happened? Laban says, oh, yeah, by the way, I forgot to tell you, we got a custom in our land that the older daughter has to be married before the younger daughter can be married. And he pulls one over on Jacob. So then Laban says, but do I got a deal for you? You want her? If you work another 7 years for me, then I'll give you Rachel as well. And so he did. And then he was able to have both of the ladies as his wife. If you remember now, Leah, her womb is open immediately. And she begins to birth sons to him. And Rachel's womb is closed. And she's not able to have those. And so after Rachel sees the love and affection that Jacob has given to Leah because of all the sons, she provides a handmaid to him. And he goes into her and has sons for Rachel through her. Leah says, oh, yeah, you're going to do that. I'm going to, here's my handmaid. And so they got this thing going back and forth. Finally, the Lord opens up the womb of Rachel and Joseph and Benjamin are born. And so after Rachel has Joseph, you pick up in Genesis chapter 30, verse number 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had born Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go unto mine own place, into my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service, which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, and this caught Laban, by the way, surprised, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry or wait or be patient, stay. The next phrase is our text. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for, finish it, class, thy sake. All right. So Jacob comes to Laban and says, I want to leave. Immediately, Laban, in that selfish mindset that he possessed, had no regard for his daughters, number one, or for his nieces there, had no regard for them, no regard for Jacob. He immediately goes inward to himself and thinks, man, if this guy leaves me, I'm going to lose the blessing of God. Because before Jacob showed on the scene, Laban was a pauper compared to what God did in his life through Jacob. Jacob made him a rich man. And so Laban has enough understanding to say to Jacob, I have learned by experience. And by the way, what a teacher experience ought to be. And Laban says, I've learned that because of you, I'm being blessed in my own life. And I'm taking that phrase, learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And I want to begin to make application to us. Because every relationship is influential. Every relationship is important. And there are relationships that we have that are capable of blessing us, and there's some that are dangerous to us. I'm going to show you that. But God wants us to learn to have friendships that lift us up and that bless us. And you need to be careful about who you hang around and what group of people you associate with and what direction you go. And really and truthfully, outside of a witnessing opportunity, I'm not talking about that. There's always the world that needs to be witnessed to. But when I begin to link myself to some kind of relationship, it ought to be a relationship that lifts me for the cause of Jesus Christ. Laban said, "Now, Jacob, I've learned by experience that being with you is blessing me." Those are the relationships you ought to seek. Those are the relationships that you ought to be. People ought to be blessed because they hang around you. Amen. They ought to be lifted in that. But as you ladies begin to associate with a group of ladies, and men, we begin to hang out with men, or our children begin to form relationships here, and we begin to have friendships in all of this, we need to be very careful and learn by experience who's lifting me and blessing me for the cause of Christ, and who's taking me away from the person of Christ. Those that are going that direction, I ought not to be part of, and I ought to surround myself with people that know God, walk with God, and bless me along those capabilities. And God's people said, now that doesn't mean that I never have unsaved friends. That doesn't mean that I don't have a group of people that I'm trying to witness Christ. I'm talking about these intimate personal relationships. They ought to be ones that bless you. You ought to be a better Christian because of the people you hang around. We ought to learn that. Let me give you some illustrations. Why not? Let's begin, if we would, in Proverbs chapter 22. Go to Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse number 25. Proverbs 22. And then, you know what? We're going to go from Proverbs 22 to Philippians chapter 4. So find both of those. Proverbs 22 and go to Philippians chapter number 4. All right. Are you at Proverbs chapter 22? I don't get to hear pages anymore. It's all electronic. So somebody just nod your head. Are you there? All right. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Very dangerous for you to make a friendship with somebody who's not capable of being tempered, temperate, control, self-control. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Now look at verse number 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a, what's that word? Snare to thy soul. So there is a relationship that has the possibility of being influential, that can be a snare to you. And God said, I want my people, they better learn that not all their relationships are healthy. Go, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. We'll do verse number 9. Those things, Paul's writing here, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of, say that, peace shall be with you. All right. So we've got one relationship in Proverbs that can be a snare to us. And we've got another reference to a relationship in Philippians that can bring peace to us. And God is telling his people, you better learn the difference. And learning the difference is not just this acknowledgement. Learning the difference is this actual application. And we better have enough foresight and enough biblical understanding to begin to reason and have wisdom inside our relationships. Come back to Proverbs chapter 22. Pick up, if you would, in verse number 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways. Notice it didn't say he would learn your ways. He said you might learn their ways. And he didn't want for his people to be without self-restraint. He didn't want us to be angry and involved in sin, and so and get a snare to thy soul. Verse number 26. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. You know what a surety for a debt is? That's co-signing. I don't know if you know this or not, but did you know the Bible is against co-signing? Never co-sign. That's surety. Well, Pastor, does that even mean for my kid, do I not co-sign? No, he's not talking about that, although I think there's some expediency there. But look how he defines surety. Look at verse number 27. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Most people that sign their name because somebody needs you to sign their name, and then those people don't carry through on their responsibility, then that responsibility falls upon you. And the Proverbs, the great book of wisdom, says you're going to smart for that. You're going to hurt for that. You have the possibility to lose out. And so if ever anybody asks you at work to be surety for them, your answer is no, I can't. Why? Because you don't love me? You're not my friend? No, because it would be a sin against God. I'm helping you here. I bet if I asked you to raise your hand, how many of you ever co-sign and you end up paying the bill? Yeah, it happens all the time. Now look here. If thou hast nothing to pay, why should he take away thy bed from under thee? Now look at verse number 28. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy father has set. So he's all talking about this relationship to this angry and furious man. He's talking about this relationship here that is a snare to the soul. And he's saying, you better learn. Number one, don't tie yourself to somebody who's not tempered or has control of the Spirit of God. If they're like a loose cannon, it's dangerous for you. Don't sign on their word and be surety for them. You're not supposed to do that. That's going to hurt you. And by the way, don't remove the ancient landmarks. You see, sometimes relationships can be so influential that we begin to let down standards that we have based upon the Word of God. And so we look at a relationship and we say, well, it's not hurting them, so I'm going to do it. And instead of standing for our principles on God's Word, we'll let those relationships linger in our thought process and we'll begin to reason those out. And it's not soon. We begin to remove the landmarks that are in our life that God set for us, and we're going to be in big, big trouble. See, every relationship has influence. I'm going to say that over and over and over. Every relationship has what? Influence. So this relationship is a snare to the soul. And God says, learn it. Learn it. Look at verse number 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. So even this relationship that he was in was lacking in diligence. It was a lazy relationship. Listen, God's people should not be lazy. And we need to be careful who our friends are. If all your friends want to do is be lazy, and they have no vision and they have no energy and they have no goal, and all they want to do is hang out. And I'm talking to 50-year-old men. We used to have to talk about hanging out to 18-year-old kids. What'd you do? I just hung out with the guys. Where was your wife? I don't know. We don't do much together. We have our friendships over here. The Bible's the Bible, and it's the Word of God. Amen. All right. So he says, listen, this relationship has even hindered your diligence. And be careful. It's a snare. We're to learn that. Let me show you the power and the danger of a relationship. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel. Type it in. It'll take you there. For those of you that got a real Bible, it's back to the left. 2 Samuel chapter 13. Okay? 2 Samuel chapter 13. Anybody, if I say the name Amnon, does anybody know who I mean in the Bible? Amnon, Tamar, Absalom, David. David had sons, Absalom and Amnon. Amnon had a half-sister, Tamar. Amnon had a sexual attraction to his half-sister. It became a wicked obsession. He had to have her. Pick up, if you would, in 2 Samuel chapter 13. And verse number 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Not a biblical love. And Amnon was so vexed or distressed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So Amnon has this attraction to her, and he's fantasizing with this woman. But there is a roadblock in his thinking. And he thinks about it, but he gets pricked about it. And he thinks about it, but he's thinking it's too hard. And he's on the verge here, and he's vexed. And he's so vexed and tore up, he's sick. Pick up in verse number 3. But Amnon had a, say it, class, had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Crafty. Be aware of crafty, get by the rules people. Look what he gives the advice. And he said unto him, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed, make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick, and when the king was come to see Amnon, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour, kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. She took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring me the meat in thy chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. By the way, craftiness. Remember how he said, Proverbs said, you learn their ways. Jonadab was crafty. Now Amnon's finding a way to get her in the bedroom. He says, let me eat in my bed, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon, her brother. And when she had brought them in unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. She answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me. Do not this folly. And if you were to go on and read, he did that folly. If you were to go on and study what happened in the life of Amnon, you would find that that one act destroyed the house of David. It cost Amnon his life. It caused a rebellion, the way that God dealt with that. All because the boy had a friend. Do not tell me that all of our relationships are not influential. And God's people said. So God says now, learn those relationships. There are some that are a snare. Paul says over in Philippians chapter 4, he speaks of a relationship. And in this relationship here in Philippians chapter 4, it gives evidence of how relationships are influential. And you ought to be real key on verse number 9. So he says there are relationships that have God's peace on them. And there are relationships that will be well with you. And you need to, as a believer, you need to look at the ones that are a snare and avoid them. And you need to look at the ones that will be a blessing and God's peace on them and have them. And here's how they're influential. Watch what Paul says. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. So here's a process of influentialness. Both learned and received. See, Paul says, I've been teaching you. Now, what Paul was teaching to them was the Word of God. He was teaching them biblical principles. But let me tell you something. All relationships being influential are also teachers. How does this work? Let me make it real practical. You ladies go to work and you sit down beside some lady and she begins to say, man, I had a great night with so-and-so last night. Really, what did you do? Oh, we went out as girls. Man, we got hammered. We had a wonderful time. What about your husband? Oh, he's at home. He's a funny dud. He does what he doesn't know won't hurt him. By the way, I met this great guy. We had an awesome time. We went and did all these things. And he's going to call me later. Do not tell me that's not teaching. So here sits a lady, and you may know the Lord, but you're struggling in your marriage. And by the way, a lot of our marriages are struggling. And so your man is of all of the things that her man is. And so the Bible very clearly teaches you how to relate to a man who's A, unsaved, or B, who's distant. And so there's that kind of teaching, but you've got this girl here and she's teaching you the world's philosophy. And the world's philosophy says, just go and forget them and go feed your flesh. Listen, that's teaching. Men, we get in a group of men and they begin to talk about what they're doing. They talk about their business practices. They talk about their philosophies. They're teaching us. What are they teaching? They're teaching us how they live their lives. But God's people are not to live our lives the way the world lives their life. We're to live our lives in the power of Christ. And so we do get taught. And every relationship is influential. Let me tell you, some of the biggest sins I ever did was because I had a friend who led me into that. I was a little boy. Not a little boy, I was 12 years old. And I had a friend expose me to something. I knew it was wrong. I wouldn't have never done it. But he exposed me to it. And I had a hard time with that as I was growing up. Don't tell me that they're not teachable. So Paul says, listen, in this relationship, what you've learned and what you've received, that's basically what I've taught you. He goes on to say, and what you've heard. It amazes me how sensitive our hearing is when we're in the middle of a problem. And I want to be very patient with this. God, help me to be patient with this and teaching this. You can be having a problem in your personal life that nobody knows about but you. And you can be out at work, or you can be walking, or you can be watching television. You can be watching a movie. And somehow, either something comes up and what you hear is something that directly relates to your problem. And in some relationships, that can be proper and biblical. But in some relationships, you're hearing things. And you never came there wanting to hear it. You never dreamed you would hear anything. But in the midst of a conversation, in the midst of this, something is said and click in my brain. I'm back at my problem. Now I've heard some kind of solution. Let me tell you, there's a relationship that you'll hear a solution that will be a snare to your soul, or one that will be the blessing of God. And God says, for my people, they better learn those relationships. Amazes me how many decisions that we make just off something we heard. It's important where you are when you hear things. I know. And then Paul says, hey, and what we've seen. So every relationship, there's teaching. Every relationship, I'm hearing something. And then there's sight in every relationship. And so I see how they treat their kids. Or I see how they respond to money. I see how they respond to rules. I see how they respond to situations in life. We're always looking. Sometimes we see things we want to see. Sometimes we see things we don't want to see. Sometimes we see things we never dreamed we would ever see that day. That's why relationships are so important. So ladies, Be careful. Be careful about the friendships you have. Pastor, can I not have friendships with unsaved people? Let me tell you, the Bible says that Jesus is a friend of who? Sinners. But in those relationships, the goal is not for there to be a union or a yokeness there. Those relationships, every relationship that we have with an unsaved person ought to have the number one goal of them being saved. If you're in a relationship of somehow with an unsaved person and you never think about them being saved, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because you're yoking yourself in that relationship and you have no spiritual direction on that. They may be great people. They may love you. They may give to you. You may have some identification there. It may be wonderful. But listen, in their heart is the void of the person of Jesus Christ. And so my goal is not to have this relationship for what it is for me. My goal is to have it so they'll be saved. Amen? So if you have a relationship and you don't ever think about whether they're saved or not, that's a problem. And so we got to be careful about these. And the Bible says, now learn not to be involved in those relationships, but learn to be involved in these relationships. Amen. I'm worried about you, and I'm worried about all of us, and I'm worried because we're so, what's the word? We're so gullible sometimes. If we're not strong on God's word, and we're not on a biblical foundation, we're so sensitive to all relationships have influence. You are being influenced. What should happen is we influence them for Christ. That's what should happen. So you need to step back and you need to see which Laban said, now, wait a minute. Jacob, if you want to leave, I'm being blessed because you're part of my life. So you need to look at your relationships and you need to see who's blessing me and letting me grow toward Christ and who is influencing me away from the Word of God. That doesn't mean that we're just surrounded. Don't misunderstand your pastor. That is, I'm not saying you cannot have any friendship with an unsaved person. You better have a friendship with an unsaved person. How are you going to win them to Christ? But when that relationship is designed for their soul, I'm talking about the intimacy of gatherings for fellowship. I'm talking about those relationships that are intimate and personal along those lines. Not so much for salvation, but so much just for our own fellowship here. I'm not saying put a little white circle around and only be around Christians. Christians will drive you to drink. You understand that? Amen or oh me? All right, you better examine your relationships. Every one of them are influential. Some are a snare. Some are a blessing. And God says, I want my people to learn that. Let's pray. We'll go home.